Greetings in Jesus' name. It's a joy to be here today and to have the opportunity to speak from the Word of God. It's really a special joy for me to be at one of our institutions. I believe that as a church, having institutions such as this is part of our expression of the belief that God's kingdom is here and God wants to equip us to participate in his mission in reversing the evil in the world and being equipped and transformed by God. What a better place if we think about our own institutions. So I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here today. Greetings from my family, and I want you to know that they are praying for us today. We just recently moved from South Africa from summer in South Africa to winter in the U.S., and I was there for a month and then moved back to summer. What a joy. We're reading from Luke chapter 9 this morning. Luke chapter 9, 23 to 26. I would like to invite you to stand for the reading of God's word, Luke 9, 23 to 26. Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thank you. You may be seated. Luke chapter 9 begins with an invitation from the Lord to his disciples. Invitation and also empowering of his disciples or his followers to partner with him in his mission to redeem the world. Jesus Lord has come to redeem the world and invites his followers to be a partner, to be partners in his mission. The word says when Jesus had called the 12, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God, to heal the sick. Jesus sends out his disciples to proclaim that the current order of creation and state of God's people are not in accord with God's will. God has come to reorder creation into alignment with God's intentions. So he sends them out to bring the good news of healing, deliverance, justice, righteousness, compassion, and forgiveness of sin. We all know that in the beginning, when God worked on his creation, at the end he said, "This is marvelous, this is beautiful, it's good, it's wonderful." And that was part of his intention, that it will remain good, beautiful, marvelous, pure. But because of sin, the world became infected with evil, with sin. The beautiful thing is that God did not give up on his creation. From the very beginning, right in Genesis 3, we begin to hear God proclaiming that he will be in the business of bringing restoration to his creation. And when we come to these passages in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and other Gospels, the proclamation of the coming of God's kingdom is a proclamation of the fulfillment of the prophecies that we find in the Old Testament, the fulfillment that God's Messiah will come and God will restore his creation. He will reorder his creation. He will not allow it to remain the same. Sin will not have authority in God's creation, but God's grace will always be the authority that comes to bring justice, restoration, righteousness, compassion, and the forgiveness of sin. And repeatedly we hear this. God says that as we proclaim the kingdom of God, you proclaim the forgiveness of sin. Because when humanity is healed, humanity is delivered from sin, God's creation as a whole can experience the salvation of God, can experience the healing that comes from God. My grandmother, who now has gone to be with the Lord, used to have a special introduction to all her prayers. It didn't matter if it was a prayer to give thanks for the meal, to say grace, or the beginning of the service, end of the service, or maybe as we're getting ready to go to bed. She will have an introduction that will go sometimes between 3, 4, 5, 7 minutes, or however long she wanted, and then she'll come to whatever she wanted to say. And I'll give you that introduction. I'll not give you a 7 minutes of that, or 5. But she would say, in my mother tongue, Shangana, she would say, hoyo hoyo, hoyo hoyo evangel. And since you don't understand that, I'll translate. That means welcome, welcome to the gospel. And you say, what does welcome, welcome to the gospel have to do with my breakfast? Let's just get to the point. Thank God for the breakfast and let's move on. But she'll say, welcome, welcome to the gospel. And then she'll move on and say, God loved us so much. Once we were not a people of God. We were completely lost in sin. And she will begin to talk about all kinds of things that were a part of the generations before her from our family, and the worship of other gods and all kinds of things that they did. And she will say, but thanks be to God, because now we are the people of God, because God loved us and he did not want us to die in our sin. And she will say, God, because of his love, he sent his missionaries. They came to our village. They did not care of the conditions that we had, where we lived, where they will live. Some of them suffered, some died here, some got sick. And you will think that is the end. Sometimes she will begin to name the things that were causing the suffering. She will begin to talk, when she goes to the insects and she starts talking about mosquitoes and all of that and name all of them. But she will say, because of God's love, and the desire of God to fulfill his mission to redeem the world, God poured out his love in his children in such a way that they themselves took that same love and went out to different places around the world to proclaim the kingdom of God. Then she will challenge in that prayer to her grandchildren, but in the same way God calls us to go out and proclaim his kingdom so that many other people who have not yet experienced God's salvation, who have not experienced the reversal of sin in their own families, they can find deliverance. And then she will say, and now, thank you, Lord, for the meal that we are about to receive. She used all opportunities that she had to preach to us to make sure that that is imprinted in our hearts, in our minds, that God's desire is to see people delivered from sin. And when people are delivered from sin, salvation happens not only in their family, but in the community. The healing that comes out of the life that these people begin to live begins to be participating in the work of God of reversing evil in the world. I didn't like that long prayer. In fact, I thought it was a punishment when my parents would ask my grandmother to pray before we would take our breakfast or any meal. But I've reflected on this, that, well, maybe she should have shortened that or done that in a different time. But she was proclaiming the kingdom of God, the good news that Jesus is the only Savior. Jesus is the only Lord. And in him there is life. In him there is transformation. And God is not willing to leave the world in the same way that it finds itself. So in the same way as we read in the gospel, we look into the gospel of Luke, there were so many things that were happening in the community. There were many kingdoms around there. The way people lived, the greed that was there, the abuse of power, and all kinds of classes that were created and kinds of things that were happening. And the people of God, for a long time, they were waiting for the coming of the kingdom of God, for the deliverance that comes from the Messiah. God's Messiah is coming someday. They had this hope that when he comes, he will make everything new. Transformation will happen. And the gospel says he's here. His kingdom is here. His justice is here. His righteousness is here. His compassion is here. The forgiveness of sin is here. Because Jesus is now here. He has come into the world. You know, humanity, it doesn't matter how much they find themselves in sin. Throughout history, humanity has always known that they cannot deliver themselves. They always cry out for help. Even when it looks like they do not cry out for help, even when they get themselves into those situations, you read about the people of Israel so many times, they find themselves far away from God. You read in Psalms 27, verse 9, they say, "Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your face from us in your anger. Have mercy on us. Come and help us. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior." And Psalms 85, 4 to 7, "Restore us again, God our Savior." These are the same people who made the choice to walk away from the Lord. And they realize as they find themselves deep in sin that they cannot save themselves. The only Savior is God, and say, "Restore us again, God our Savior, and put away our displeasure towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation." Humanity recognizes the need of a Savior to restore wholeness and justice in God's creation. No one can save himself or herself. So people need to hear the good news that the kingdom of God brings transformation. This is very important for us. I began by saying that I believe that our institutions are part of our expression. I believe that God is in the business of reordering his creation. And he invites his disciples to be a part of this redemptive mission. He wants those who are his followers to participate in what he's doing in the world. And if that is true, then his desire is not only that we become so knowledgeable just for our own benefit. Our education is not just an end in itself. Our search of the scriptures, our time in the Word of God. I like to think about this as part of a sacramental approach where we completely immerse ourselves in desiring to accept the transformation that comes from the Lord as we go through His Word, as we study His Word, as we seek to understand His will, as we seek to follow Him. And we not just transform only by the knowledge that we acquire, but God Himself, He descends, He comes and He abides in us. He permeates everything that is part of us and transforms us to enable us to go out and make a difference and participate in His mission. So, Jesus, to help His disciples understand this, knowing that some of them have a different agenda or understanding of who is God's Messiah or what the kingdom of God looks like. You read about it, some want to be on the right hand or the left hand, who's going to be in charge of this and that, who's going to have more authority and so on. And it's almost like Jesus is saying, hey, don't think so highly of yourself. God's Messiah is different from what you are thinking. If you read in Luke chapter 9, in the conversation, chapter 9, verse 18 to 22, Jesus has this conversation with His disciples to help them understand better who is God's Messiah and what it looks like to be God's Messiah. He talks to them about a willingness to give one's life for the sake of others. He tells them that He will suffer, be rejected, killed, but on the third day He will rise again. For them, that did not make sense, that God's Messiah could be that. Because He asked them, who did the people say I am? And they told Him what the people thought. And then He said, and you, what's your confession? You are the Messiah. And said, well, God's Messiah will be rejected, will suffer, will be killed. But on the third day, He will rise again. With this background of the understanding of the fact that God's kingdom has come to God coming to reorder His creation, He's in charge. Even though there is evil and all kinds of things that are happening, God has not given up in His creation. He's at work. With this background and the understanding that He invites His followers to participate in His mission, and His followers must learn from Him and knowing what God's Messiah looks like, now He comes to this passage and He says, if you are going to be My disciples, you need to deny yourself. You need to deny yourself. Well, Jesus, that's a mistake. No king really denies himself. People of the kingdom do not deny themselves. They have people who serve them, but those who are in charge, they have authority, so they do not deny themselves. They do not really empty themselves because they have others doing things for them. I like to suggest to us today, we don't have much time to go on this, I want to suggest to us that this call to deny ourselves, in other words, is an invitation to us to say, each one of us may have our own agendas. We have our own will. But Jesus is saying, if you are going to participate in proclaiming the kingdom of God, if you are going to participate in God's redemptive mission, you need to embrace His agenda and not your agenda. You need to forget about yourself. Paul suggests to us in this way, have the same mind that was in the Messiah, that was in Christ. We are called to empty our lives for the sake of the redemptive work of God. He said, we'll suffer, we'll be rejected, killed, but he will bring life. He will rise again. Empty yourself. The same mindset that was in the Messiah, the same attitude that was in Christ, it is the same that is desirable for those who are the disciples of Jesus Christ, those who are participating in his mission of proclaiming the kingdom of God in the world. Take up your cross. They knew that those who took up their cross, they were the people who were considered really the bad guys. And it was the end for them. Some scholars suggest that those who were listening to Jesus say these words, they could hear him say, once you take your cross, it's a one way. There is no return. They knew that if you are not forgiven at the time of the judgment or anything, once you carry your cross, you will be crucified and you will die. And he says to his disciples, my followers, those whom I am inviting, those I invited in verse 1 of this chapter to go out and cure diseases and heal the sick and proclaim the kingdom of God, participate in the reordering of God's creation, must be people who must be willing to carry the cross, die to self, and allow Christ to live in them and through them. If you do not deny yourself, you do not take up your cross, do not die to yourself, it is easier for everything that you do to become about you. Oh, it's easier to be so proud. Oh, I have this title. I have this responsibility in the church. God calls me every day to die to self. I will be making a mistake if I begin to think of myself so highly than I ought to. Because I will begin to forget that it's not about my mission. It's not about a mission of a particular denomination or particular person. It's a God's mission, and God invites his followers from all denominations, from all areas, from all parts of the world to participate in the work that he is doing in such a way that the world will experience the salvation of God, the healing that comes from God alone. Take up your cross, die to self. I want to suggest to us that even though they may have had take up your cross, and when you go, it's a one way, there's no coming back. I want to suggest that in Christ, it's not just a one way. Because in Christ, yes, you go and die. You die to self, but you do not remain dead. God gives you a new life. There's a new life. You surrender your life. You give yourself. And Jesus pours out new life in you so that you can go out and pour out life in others and in the things that you touch. We do not worship a Christ who is dead, but a Christ who is alive. We do not proclaim a kingdom that has no life, but we proclaim a kingdom that has life and brings life. Regardless of what is happening in our world today, the challenges that are out there, God continues to call his people. And oh, what a great day when we all come before the Lord. And the scriptures tell us that we'll look and we'll say, oh, okay, 12,000, 12,000. And then you look beyond and say, what are all those others? Where did they come from? They have come from those villages that my grandmother was talking about. They've come from the cities. They've come from the suburbs. They've come from all kinds of places that no one ever imagined that people could find deliverance. But because you and I and many others said yes to the Lord and we surrendered our lives, we died to our own agendas and we gave ourselves to death in Christ and find life in Him, and we go out and proclaim that He is the King and His grace is at work and He is restoring His world. God calls us to participate in His mission to reorder His creation. May He find us faithful as we continue to serve and walk with Him. May God bless you.